Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Pharisees and Sadducees wanted John the Baptist to baptize them without confessing their sins. Works give evidence of sincere repentance. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, and confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, we heard these words from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, and he's actually talking about Jesus, who wasn't going to be born until hundreds of years later, when he said, "He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears." Well, all this prepare the way for the Lord, John the Baptist, make straight paths. I don't really like to hear those kind of things on Advent. You know why? Because that means I've got some soul searching to do. That means that what I need to be doing is getting real and coming clean with God about my stuff, my baggage. You know, the things that get in the way of honoring the Lord and serving him, which not only hurt myself, but actually hurt others around me. But this whole theme of Advent, you know, getting ready for Christmas, is all about preparing the way. I mean, making our hearts and our minds and our spirit, you know, ready for the birth of this child, Jesus, who came to save us from our sins, right? And the best way to prepare, the best way to get that done and to really appreciate and to be joyful about the birth of Jesus and even his second advent, that is his second coming again, is to get real with God and to really own up to our sins. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Isn't that fun? You know, the more that we're able to self-examine ourselves in our thoughts, life, and the words that we speak, the things that we shouldn't have done, and the things that we should do, but we don't do, the more we're really going to appreciate, you know, what God has done for us by sending us this Savior to redeem and atone for every sin that we have ever committed in thought, word, and deed. So what I'm trying to say to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, is the more you own up to your sins, the more the sweet sound of the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done for you and people from all nations, you'll have a heart of gratitude, you'll have a heart of thanks, and you will rejoice in God your Savior because all your sins have been forgiven. Amen? Should I just end the sermon right there and just, hey. You know, it seems like today, wherever we go, it just seems like we're on camera and video everywhere, doesn't it? I mean, we walk into CVS grocery store, there's a TV screen, and we can wave to ourselves when we go into Walgreens, right? Or same thing into a Smith's grocery store, or we go into his dentist's office, or we go into an emergency room or a hospital. You know, there's TV screens everywhere. It just seems like we're being recorded everywhere we go. It doesn't seem like there's any privacy at all. And then we look into the security booth after we enter whatever building we enter, and all these TV screens, and they're flipping from one place to another. They're surveying the whole building and the whole campus, right? I mean, we got to be careful with this stuff. I mean, we roll up to an ATM machine, you know, there's a camera right in our face recording our every move, right? It seems like in today's world, we're just overexposed all the time. I mean, try picking your nose sometime at a graduation and you might be on a panorama video of 500 different people. I mean, you got to be careful what you're doing out there, right? You've seen that watching sports, right? You know, they show a coach or a manager or a player doing something you really don't want caught on camera. It happens. In one suburb in Chicago, they tried a way of catching speeders. They tied, you know, these cameras to the overposts, you know, where the signal lights are, and the radar gun recorded a speeder. It triggered the camera of the time, the plate number, and the speed, right? And then they would just conveniently send that ticket in the mail to that person. And this, or the people in this suburb of Chicago, they were so outraged over this that they all complained about it, and they took the cameras away. Now, why were so people outraged and angry about that? I mean, what's so wrong with catching people who are breaking the law? I'll tell you why. It's because we don't want people monitoring our behavior. Because, you see, we want the ability, if we're being viewed, to alter or change our behavior as needed. Amen? Yeah, we do that. It's a well-known saying that cameras do not lie, but I have to tell you today on this second Advent, Sunday in Advent, that nothing lies more than a camera. You see, if people's lives were judged by their photos as the only evidence, most of us would be declared happy all the time. If the pictures come back and we think that we look bad in them, well, we just toss them, or maybe we even just delete them from our phone, right? If we don't like the way we looked, or if they caught us doing something that we shouldn't be doing. Yeah, our photos would have people believe that our lives are just one big happy panorama video from the time we're laughing and splashing as little kids exposed in the bathtub to the time when we're surrounded by small grandchildren. I mean, we use our FB and our Instagram and our Snapchats and our Twitter accounts to show off, you know, how great we are and how great our kids are. Oh, here's a good one of my daughter playing the lead in a school play, and here she is winning a ribbon at the track meet, and oh, I love this one modeling her prom dress, and this is my grandson on the day he learned to ride his bike, and look how proud he is wearing his Cub Scout uniform. Our photos don't show us fighting, lying, cheating, cursing, glaring, lusting, discriminating, stealing, hating, or any of that. Yes, the camera definitely lies, and that's exactly the way we like it. Now, I don't have to tell you some of the worst news you'll ever hear, assuming you don't already know it, is that God has a complete album of your life and mine. Kind of scary, isn't it? As we prepare the way for the Lord, as we make straight paths for Him here in Advent. I mean, video cameras are nothing compared with God's omniscience. I mean, He knows all things. There's absolutely no fooling God. He knows the truth about you. He knows the truth about me. I mean, we're all overexposed to Him. And as Christians, we're all His children, right? Listen to Him brag about us at FGS. Here's one of my children cheating on his taxes and his spouse. Oh, look at this one, this youth making obscene jokes about their teacher. Oh, I love this one of my child flipping off a fellow motorist. Here's a wide angle view of every woman he's ever lusted after. And this is a poster size one of everyone my daughter has ever gossiped about. Oh, here's another robbing me in tithes and offerings. Notice how my camera captures the jealousy, the hatefulness, the pride, the stubbornness, the self-centeredness in their hearts. Anybody hear John the Baptist preaching this morning? No matter how you slice it, you know, the children of God, we don't have much to brag about, do we? His cameras, or tape recorders are everywhere, and they refuse to lie. And so, yeah, in Advent, we find ourselves coming up short, right? Who likes to hear the preaching of the law? But I tell you what, with the preaching of the law, when I do get around to preaching the gospel, the fact that your sins have been forgiven, that they're all freed up in Jesus, that Jesus took every one of them to the cross, shed his blood, and rose again, guess how great you're going to feel? You're going to feel awesome, right? But I'm not there yet. Because of our sins, we're an embarrassment. We're quite literally mortified at this because this conviction of sin, you know what it sends us to? It sentences us to a one-way ticket to hell. And yes, we still believe in heaven as Missouri Synod Lutheran Christians, and we still believe in hell. Amen? God so loved the world, gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But wait a minute. What is it that Isaiah tells us about the coming king? And I'm almost done. What is it that hope-filled promise he gives us about judgment and eternal life? Chapter 11 says, listen to this, you guys. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. Is that law or gospel? That is gospel. And the word gospel means, comprimands? Good news. It means good news. And this is the miracle of our salvation. I mean, this is what we hang on during the season of Advent as we prepare our hearts, as we prepare for the way of the Lord. The righteous judge, according to Isaiah, is going to disregard the evidence, all of the evidence, the camera pictures that all condemn us. But it's as if God doesn't look at the evidence anymore. When he looks at us, he sees us through his perfect Son, Jesus Christ. He looks at believers as though he is looking at the babe in the manger. I mean, Jesus' baby pictures become our own baby pictures. The camera pictures of his perfect life, death, and resurrection, they become ours by grace through faith in Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? His death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, for his victory over the sin, death, and the devil, the big three, has also become ours. We've been grafted in along with the Jews. We heard it in our reading. The Jews and the Gentiles together. The plan of salvation that God has given to all nations. So by faith we receive Christ's perfection so that God the Father, he can actually brag about us. He might show off his FGF children like this. Here's one of my followers loving their families and their spouse. Here's another making a visitor feel welcome. Here's one who's serving as a volunteer over at the school. Here's another giving me a tithe all their offerings that I've given to them. Here's another one who's sharing their faith with someone who is lost. And still another giving clothing and food to a family in need. And here's one of my followers picking up people and giving them rides so that they can worship me in my house of prayer for all nations. Because of Christ-centered faith that God the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts, God the Father sees Christ in every good thing that we do. So to conclude, what happens to all those incriminating photos, all those things that we've ever thought, said, or did that God has every right to hold against us? I mean, what happens to them? Well, let's just say they got overexposed, right? Isn't that what happens with pictures and film and you take it into a dark room and the light? What happens? They get wiped out. And so during Advent, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord, as we make straight paths for him, with every Christmas light that we light, with every candle that we light, with every ornament we put on the tree, with however we decorate our homes, let's let every picture remind us of the great light, Jesus Christ, which has overexposed our sins. And remember that he loves you very much. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.